go to Buckingham Palace over in England or Great Britain. Or perhaps another place in your mind. Nothing wrong with dreaming, thinking. My wife and I had the privilege a few years ago now to go to the land of Israel. It had always been a dream of mine to do that. My dad never had the privilege, or mom, but I have had a first cousin who has gone to Israel, or did get to go to Israel 166 times. He was a professor, also an archaeologist, and done a lot of digging, and he was over there, but he wasn't there when we were there. We had that privilege to go, and what a privilege that was to be a part of that experience and to be able to walk where Jesus walked and to see, as we think about the cross this morning and we think about the price that Jesus paid on the cross, it was a privilege to see that and to be in the garden where Jesus was, the Garden of Gethsemane, and to be able to have communion there in that garden. What a privilege. And to see the stone where Jesus wept, as the scripture says, as if it were drops of blood. What a privilege, what a realization, and what a privilege we had to be able to do that. Perhaps if we had lived in the Old Testament times, we might have wanted to visit the holy place or the Holy of Holies. I'm sure you've studied some of those things in your life, and perhaps you would have wanted to visit the holy place or the Holy of Holies, where the Shekinah of God or His presence was shining upon the mercy seat that sat upon the top of the Ark of the Covenant. You couldn't do that because only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and that only once a year. By the way, they always took a rope and tied it around his ankle with a bell on it. And if the bell quit ringing, they knew that he did something he shouldn't have done. And they would have to pull him out because no one could go into that Holy of Holies except the high priest. And that only once a year. And first of all, he made sacrifice for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. It is interesting also this morning to realize there was a veil or a curtain as thick as a man's hand, this away, not this away, this away. You understand what I'm saying? Could have been 4 to 6 inches thick. That veil was somewhere between 20 and 30 feet wide, 60 feet high. Can you imagine that in your mind? When Jesus prayed on the cross, that prayer, "It is finished," the veil tore in two from the top to the bottom. You say that's had to be of God. You're right. It wasn't man, because someone said that someone had figured that if 300 horses had the privilege to try to tear that veil in two, they couldn't do it because it was interwoven, and the way it was designed that God made it, so it was impossible for man to tear it apart. When that veil separated the holy place and the Holy of Holies, now you and I have the privilege to go into the Holy of Holies in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that just thrills my heart this morning to think that we have the privilege that they didn't have back then. Today, because Jesus gave his life, we find that scripture, if you want to read with me in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 19. Would you stand together with me this morning as I read that to you? Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 25. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, open for us through the curtain, that is his body, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess." Wow, thank the Lord. And there I got lost, didn't I? "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What a promise from God this morning. You may be seated. As I read the scriptures, I like to notice things that sometimes kind of jump out at me. I don't know about you, but that's the way the Lord speaks. If you'll notice there in this passage, as the writer of the book of Hebrews, whom we most people seem to feel, not all, but some seem to feel that it was Paul in his writing to the church, there are several phrases that says, let us, let us, let us. He was talking, I believe, to the church. Let us. First of all, he challenges us to draw near to God. He uses some guidelines there in verse 22. With a sincere heart, let us draw near to God. The heart, of course, is symbolic of our whole inner life. To enter the holy place is symbolic when we humbled ourselves before God and we asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins and come into our hearts and to our lives. Let us draw near to God. I'm glad Jesus told his disciples there in John chapter 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One wrote, not only does Jesus provide the way, but he is there to escort us in and stand with us as our security. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus doesn't leave us alone, but he's there with us? You know, sometimes we have to go alone to do certain things, especially in this day of COVID and how, but you know, Jesus said, I will go with you and I will be with you. How thankful. Cleland McAfee, the songwriter, wrote, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. What a place to be, near to the heart of God. In James, we read these words, come near to God and he will come near to you. In other words, he's saying to us that God desires for us to draw near to him. He wants us to come to him. When my wife and I were dating, she used to sit next to me. But now she sits clear on the other side. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Who moved? I didn't, because I'm still driving. But again, with bucket seats, you don't have a choice, do you? You know what I'm saying this morning? Draw near to God, and what? He will draw near to you. What a privilege. What an opportunity this morning. As we allow him to do that, as we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Not only does he want us to draw near to God, secondly, he challenges us, hold unswervingly to hope. One of the worst things we can do is to lose hope. Aren't you glad this morning for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? When people do, they deny their faith. They become afraid of life and might even become withdrawn. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian church and he said to them there in chapter 15, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Folks, my hope is not just here. My hope is in Jesus. For the hope that we have beyond the grave this morning, Jesus is the one who gives us hope. You see, we need to express our hope. One wrote, when we honor God by affirming our confidence in his integrity, he honors us by deepening our assurance. Hope is not something we do. Hope is something we possess. God has promised to be faithful and he will never fail us. Again, Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church and he said, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Wow. I don't know about you. I get blessed sometimes when I read the Word of God and realize how blessed we are and that we're on this side of the cross and not the other side. I was talking to a pastor the other day, a fellow pastor, and he said to me, I'm glad we don't have to do the sacrifices they did in the Old Testament. And I'm glad this morning too that Jesus became our perfect sacrifice. He became the Lamb of God, just as John the Baptist said of him, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our hope is in Jesus this morning. He will do it. When we enter boldly into God's presence through the name of Jesus, our high priest, we have hope. And I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful. Again, in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, we read these words. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us approach it with confidence. Let us draw near to God and allow Him to help us. Again, the songwriter Edward Mote wrote, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest fame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." You see, beloved, this morning, there is no other hope but Jesus, and we can hold unswervingly to Him in our hope. In other words, sometimes people go through some situations and face some difficulties, and we think that there's no hope. Maybe you just need to tie a knot at the end of the rope and hang on. You ever been there? Perhaps you have. I've been there. There's been times when I felt like there was no way, and yet God made a way as we allow Him to do it. I'm so thankful for that this morning. Not only is we can have our faith in Him and trust Him and have hope in Jesus. Thirdly, the author here challenges us to spur on or to motivate one another to love and good deeds. In other words, he's saying to us, we need to encourage each other in our Christian walk. We need to encourage each other. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, we need to look for ways to inspire, to encourage and uplift each other. One of Job's friends in the Old Testament, you remember Job went through all kinds of sufferings and heartaches. And one of his friends said to him, paid him a great tribute when he said, your works have kept men on their feet. As Christians, we have access into God's presence because He is our high priest. And I'm thankful for that. Jesus gave His life on the cross of Calvary. We should learn to express our appreciation to others for the Christian example or lives and give affirmation or encourage one another with positive comments at least once a day. Positive comments. I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of negative comments. But what about some positive comments? Do you realize they tell us, is my understanding, those who have done research says it takes for every positive comment you have, it isn't long till somebody comes along and gives a negative comment. But then it takes 13 more positive comments to offset the one negative. Does that tell you anything? You ever been around people who are negative all the time? Kind of discouraging, isn't it? You want to get away from them. You want to go somewhere else. Positive comments. At least once a day. One wrote, there's no difficulty that enough love will not conquer. No hurt that enough love will not heal. No door that enough love will not open. No gulf that enough love will not budge. No wall that enough love will not redeem. It makes no difference how deeply seated we may be in trouble, how hopeless the outlook, how muddled the tangle, how great the mistake. A sufficient realization of love will dissolve it all. If only you could love enough, you could be the happiest and most powerful being in the world, unquote. What a statement. May we allow God's love, His agape love, to flow through us and help us to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Help us, Lord, to encourage each other. Give positive comments. Amen. I thought maybe I'd get an amen out of that. Let me try it again. Give positive comments. Say something positive to somebody today. Amen. Not just once. Say it many times. Do it many times. You know, your life is better when you compliment and encourage each other. Fourthly, the author challenges us not to give up meeting together. He writes there in verse 25, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." It's easy to begin missing a service here and there, and soon it's easy to miss more of them. And if we're not careful, we get out of the habit, especially since COVID-19. Now, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I'm just telling you what the Word says this morning. Do not do what others may be doing, but it's grateful that you came this morning and are part of this service, in service. There's nothing wrong with, and there are those who will be watching, perhaps by live, and some on YouTube later or Facebook. Nothing wrong with that, but there's something about getting together in the body of Christ that encourages each other. Am I right? I missed, when we had to stay home, you know what? I really missed something. We didn't have a choice. But now the scripture here says, don't do as others have the habit of doing. He also mentions here, the highlights the day of the Lord, which I believe means he comes again to rapture his church. If there was ever a time we needed to encourage each other, it's now. Do you know that the devil will do his best to sidetrack us by looking at others? And if we aren't careful, we lose sight of Jesus. He does everything he can within his power to get our eyes off of Jesus. Perhaps that's why he said in another passage over in chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, what? The author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, sitting down or scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us, as God's people, keep focused upon Jesus, knowing that there's nothing in this life that's worth having or doing to keep us from making heaven our home. The author also showed us this morning that Jesus is the new and the living way, the high priest who's over God's house. He's the only one who can cleanse us from all sin. We are a privileged people with an awesome responsibility to become all that he wants us to be. We really do need each other. We really do. I need you and you need me. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. Am I right? Not because of us, but it's because of him. We need each other. One wrote, "The church is described in the New Testament as the body, the building, and the bridge, and the brotherhood of Christ," quote unquote. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Another wrote, "Faith is the Christian's upward attitude, hope is the forward attitude, and love is the outward attitude," quote unquote. The writer of Hebrews here has challenged us to draw near to God, hold unswervingly to the hope, spur one another to love and good deeds, and not give up meeting together. Can I challenge you this morning in closing? Before you leave the sanctuary, and I know we have to be careful about social distancing, but if you have to, just talk a little louder and say, give somebody a positive comment, an encouragement, before you leave the sanctuary today. Can you do that? Not for me, but to the glory of God. Can you do that this morning? I think we have another song. Then I'll close in prayer.
We stand and sing, "We Will Glorify."
Amen.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Let's pray together in closing. Father, once again this morning we pause in your presence. Thank you for the privilege we've had to worship you and to lift up your name. Wow, what a privilege, what an opportunity. We just praise you this morning from the depths of our hearts. We think of that time when you were there, Jesus, with the disciples, and they were giving you praise as you entered the city of Jerusalem. There were those who said, they tell your disciples to be quiet. Jesus said, if they're quiet, the rocks will cry out. Help us to lift up your name, then in all that we do and all that we say, it may bring glory and honor to the wonderful, matchless, marvelous, majestic, mighty name of Jesus. For it's all in his name that we pray and we ask it this morning. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you again. I might just share with you that in closing, my wife and I are leaving. We're headed to Bloomington, Indiana. I have a funeral there to preach tomorrow. And it's about a 5.5 hour, 6 hour drive. And we would appreciate your prayers.
God bless you. Thank you for allowing us to come and
share.